everyone. Great to be with you for Coffee Pods. And Wes, really good to be with you again. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to spring coming. It's
I am
like,
too.
yeah, it's gonna be
Yes.
good, but we're all
It
doing good, and the hub
excellent.
and the hubs are doing great, so that's lovely news.
Yeah, they are. We actually, this last week, people might know, we were visiting Guildford Healing Hub, who are in Guildford Cathedral. That was a lovely moment together. A really
And
nice
last
venue.
yeah, and last month we were in Northern Ireland with the hubs in
Of
Belfast.
course, yes. Yeah. So it's really nice to visit the hubs, and if you've not been to one yet, I mean, even if you don't want to go with a specific prayer need, just go along to your local hub and you can be blessed and you can just see what it's about and get a feel for it.
Great plan.
Definitely welcome. But today we've got a really interesting discussion point around ministering to the whole person. And here at Acorn, we do talk about ministering to the whole person, don't we, Wes? I mean, we just had an academy on it, which was 3 hours on that whole topic of ministering to the whole person. But I thought it'd just be helpful to maybe unpack what we actually mean by that. Well, what does it look like?
That's a good question. It's really funny. I remember as a child growing up, and the sort of message that my church gave me was that God was really just interested in your spiritual life. Read the Bible, pray, come to to church and do stuff. But actually, they didn't really talk a lot about any other bits you like your relationships, or certainly not about healing or anything like that. It was just like it wasn't even there, and which sort of really intrigued me as I grew up, and as I became a disciple of Jesus, and looked at it, and I looked at a different thing with him. But for us, it means that when we minister to people, we are aware that they are, yes, a physical being. They have bones and blood and bodies and things, but they are also an emotional being. They have a soul and a mind, and within that, they also have relationships and family, and they have hopes and dreams and all that stuff. And then alongside that, yes, they are a spiritual being. Great quote, which Chardin says. He says, "We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience." And I love that little turnaround. So it means that for us, when we're ministering to people, praying for people, listening to people, talking with people, that we are aware that they are all those three things, that they are not just a physical need that needs to get fixed. They're not just a mind or emotions that need to get fixed, that they're not just a spirit that needs to be, in quotes, saved. Actually, they're all of it one. And in fact, for me, for us as a holistic thing, Lisa, it's because we are integrated beings. All those three bits aren't separate. They're all just connected. So that's what it looks like for us in terms of our understanding.
So I suppose then when we pray for people in hubs and other ministry contexts, we're presented with those three things, aren't we? I mean, somebody mentioned at the academy that just because someone comes with a broken arm, it might not be the thing that actually needs healing or the touch of God.
Yeah, and of course the thing is that we're so used to judging and by appearances. We say that we don't, but we do. And it's not even that we judge, we just get impacted by appearances straight away, And so one of the key things is certainly for us in our practice, a silly little thing, like for instance, you're at the end of church and you're praying for dad who's come forward for prayer, okay? One of the things that we would be aware of as team is that he's probably got kids in the Sunday school. He's probably got his wife waiting for them, and they've probably got to get them all home for dinner because their kids are on low blood sugar. Okay. So suddenly it's not just, can we spend 45 minutes unpacking your reality? Actually, some of it is saying, Lord, we just need you to meet this guy right now because he's actually going to pick his kids up and get home. But as you say, also, somebody might come with with what looks like a physical issue. Take headaches, stomach pains. Okay. But actually, it could then be really connected to stress, and that could be connected to something else. And that could, so in a sense that, it's about, if you just say we're just going to deal with the physical, then you miss what the roots are and you don't really help people.
I can see that and I can understand that. And we do see as well in the Bible that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and also some churches today, do emphasize the spiritual part of life, don't they? But you tell us, we've been chatting recently, that Jesus was different to that. How or why was he different to that?
Well, I think one of the things that is essential in Acorn's ministry, and certainly in my own understanding, Luther, is that it's to do with this thing a bit about being made in the image of God. And I think Jesus, as he carries from the Father's heart, a full understanding of what it means to be fully human. And so, I mean, and the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Okay, so that means that Jesus was the Word before creation came into being. So he knows what we're made of. And I love the way, for instance, that you see the interaction with Jesus and the disciples. Okay, they're not just on a discipleship course to train them to be something. He's dealing with them with Thomas's doubts and with Peter's unpredictability and James and John and their sort of sense of judgmentalism and yes, I know it sounds crazy, but I think he was also offering Judas Iscariot a way forward to find wholeness for the thing that drove him, but Judas never really got to it. So for me, the crowds knew Jesus was different. One, because he taught them as one who had authority, and the demons were subject to him. And so the Pharisees were just saying, if you obey these laws, but Jesus was saying, if you live in this life with God, then that's the kingdom. And so I think, in a sense, if we just do we just do the ritually laws bit, then we're just dealing with stuff on earth. Whereas Jesus comes and he brings life to people. And so he will feed them. He will, heal their children. He will, help go to what is a hospice and find somebody. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the Pharisees had a whole list of laws why none of those people should ever be touched.
And also, I'm just the person who's come to mind is Nicodemus. That interaction that Jesus has with it with Nicodemus about being born again, that would have been that would have touched parts of him that maybe were neglected. Or do you know what I mean? Because it's the whole person, and I feel like you said about Jesus not just training the disciples, but sort of leading them into this new way of life. And I feel like he did that with Nicodemus as well. Like that was the area of life Nicodemus needed opening.
Absolutely, because actually, in a sense, if Nicodemus had come, to a sort of standard sort of English church, we would have probably said, okay, this guy is theologically educated. He's a leader, he's got everything. We won't go to the basics of, but Nicodemus, the problem is you gotta start life with God afresh. We would have said, well, the Lord loves you and he's got a real one plan for your life and he's gonna get you to preach to thousands and thousands. We would have done a different thing. And but for Nicodemus, Jesus treated him as an integrated being. That's how he got to you must be born again. And I love it. It's like,
Absolutely. So when people come for prayer, let's go with
yeah.
that option. they come with all sorts of things. And how do we let people know that we are interested in all of them, not just like a particular part of them or an issue? So I'm thinking like if somebody came and they were holding maybe an identity that they thought that's the only thing that we're going to want to deal with them. How do we let them know? No, we are interested in you as a whole person.
I mean, it's great, isn't it? Because, and I do think, and some of our listeners might come back and hear this, But I do think in church we get used to giving the answers that are expected of us.
Okay.
You know, so the answer to every question is Jesus or pray more or whatever. And actually, which is why, funnily enough, in the academy we encourage debate and dialogue and even argument to say
Yeah.
let's work this out. So somebody coming to a healing hub, I mean, first of all, they're given time. Okay, so it's not like your appointment's at 11 o'clock and it's going to be over by 11:23, and at 11:22 and a half you're being shown the door. They're given time. They're given respect. So silly little things like they're welcomed. We use their name. We introduce ourselves. We make sure that they are at peace and they're happy. So, you know, the team will say, we're going to sit here. Is that okay? And this is so and so. And we, you know, and so in a sense, we're aware that this is part of God's creation that we're dealing with. You know, and actually, if you mess with a grandparent and their grandkids, you're going to get in trouble. And I want to say to people, if you mess with God and his creation, you're asking for trouble because God put most of the Godhead into people. It's his pinnacle of something. Okay. So we would want to make sure that this person knows that we think they're valuable. And by giving them time, using their name, making sure they're comfortable, showing respect, just to the first 3 or 4 minutes, we're saying, okay, next, and you probably, you know, you've done it as well as I know, but actually we would invite them to tell us what it is that's on their heart, what's concerning them. Even if it isn't the thing in the end that we might end up praying for, right? The fact that somebody is told, has said, you've got, tell us about you. Tell us your, you know, what is it? Because very often people will get to the thing that they're really concerned about, but they won't necessarily start there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So we used to say in pastoral appointments in the church that the truth was in the last 10 minutes. You know, as 45 minutes is coming to an end, about half an hour, that's when he started to get the real thing. And so actually we would like, and Jesus, of course, does that with Nicodemus, but he also does it with Bartimaeus. He says, Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? You know, and so I think there are some things, some very practical things. But we would also ensure that we were then visibly paying attention to the person. And that they would also know that we were visibly paying attention to the Holy Spirit as well,
Yeah, of
to
course.
be of help to them. So those sort of things would immediately strike somebody coming.
I think that's really good actually. You've even mentioned things like the space that we use, and you talked about clearing the room in the last podcast we did, didn't you? And so it's kind of a reminder that it's not always just about asking them what do you want prayer for, but actually it's about making them comfortable, having the respect, all those
Yeah.
things.
Yes, because in some way it's also an act of hospitality
Yeah, that's right.
that we are giving. I think also in our prayer thing, the things that we teach the teams to do is, yes, they're listening to the person, and actually the majority of the time they're praying with their eyes open and they're attentive. But also a little thing is, I know that the team leaders will pray and ask God to show them which team members should pray with which people.
Oh, that's good.
So actually, and the number of times I remember praying for being somebody came to the meeting at the healing hub, and the team leader get two people, and one of whom was a Catholic, and the person who come forward was a Catholic for prayer, and they couldn't believe that, and it immediately set them at heart. But also we would want to ensure that in our praying we were dealing with the person, as you said, you know, maybe they've got an injury to their arm, but it might be something else. And we wouldn't jump to that. We would lead the person to that. We invite them to journey with us, with it. You know, so the use of questions, appropriate questions. The invitation to say, is there anything that you think is behind that? You know, And so all the way through, prayer ministry isn't something that's done to us. It is something that is done with us.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And that's including God.
Yes.
He does it with us,
Yeah.
you know. And of course, another thing, understanding process.
Yeah.
What does this person need right now? And do I have to give them a cement mixer full of it all, or can I just give them a bucket? You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd hope that people would then know as they left, they'd had a really life-enhancing experience. Of course, one of our values is that
Yeah.
we will identify and enhance the image of God in every person that we meet.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask you one last question before we close that we do believe that value and it's something that we really do incorporate, isn't it, into our ministry. But being made in the image of God is something that we talked about at the academy. For ministering to the whole person. So if there are people listening who are struggling to identify the image of God in themselves, is there anything we can do as prayer ministers, or have you got any just any encouragement that you could share now as well?
I know that as a culture, we are more involved, more aware of self-esteem and self-worth. And I understand that. And it can be very debilitating when we lose our sense of self-worth. I don't know about but for me, my problem was that the harder I worked to try and get my place of self-worth, the less worthy I felt because I kept failing.
That's
You know, so actually I worked really hard and ended up feeling worse than I had when I first started. So for me, it was a light bulb moment, Lisa, when I realized that God didn't need me to do that because my self-worth, the value of me was never going to be based on what I could do for myself. And it was never going to be based on what I could achieve and what I could make. And if I could, even if I could do Acorn successfully, it was never going to be based on that. And you mentioned a few moments ago about being made in the image of God. I mean, just think about that. You were made in such a way that heaven would look at you and say, "Oh, wow, Lisa was made by the Father. She looks a bit like him." And I realized I couldn't get any bigger sense of affirmation than that phrase,
Wow.
that I'm a child of God. I'm made in the image of God. So I stopped trying to go that way, and I started to say, "Well, I'm already made in the image of God,
Yeah.
and I'm already a child of God." So actually, probably the best thing to do is just to live that image,
Yes.
to live what that is. So I thought, well, what does God look like? And I thought, well, okay, he looks like Jesus. So I
Yeah.
thought, okay, well, actually, if I start moving in that direction and not trying to say, come on, build something. And actually, for me, that was just a light bulb moment because it took away my repeated failings. And it said, it was a bit like the Holy Spirit said, "Wes, do you fancy living a different way? Because
Nice, isn't it?
you might like this one a lot better."
Yeah, what an
And
invitation.
avoid imitation. So, you know, if I preach and it's terrible, it doesn't make a lot of difference to me
Yeah.
because my value was never based on performance. It was based on the fact that I'm made in the image of God and loved by him.
Amazing. Well, I think that's a lovely encouragement. If you're listening to this and you just kind of needed that today, yeah, grab onto it and maybe take that invitation to live in a different way. So we're going to come back together in a couple of weeks' time where we're going to look further into this topic of ministering to the whole person and also hearing a little bit more, Wes, about how you do that in particular. So we look forward to catching you soon. Do catch up on all the podcasts that are online. Just search Coffee Pods wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Thank you.